Well, all right. Here we are. Body heat, just what we need today to keep us all warm. We'll begin with questions. Yes.
I just want to tell you that we love you so dearly, like everything. Thank you. That's all.
How do you deal with perpetual, complete, overwhelming love all the time? I mean, I feel like at the moment, if I see an Andrex puppy advert, I'll just break down. Anything sets me off. It's nice, but how do you deal with that?
Uh-huh. That's a very good question. Did everyone hear that?
No.
Stand up and say.
Well, three.
I came to the teaching about a year ago, and through what Candy said, either showing up or resting, all there is overwhelming love everywhere, and I don't know how to deal with it at the moment. It's so intense that, I might just break down now, but how do you deal with the fruition of resting naturally, basically?
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
It's about the relationship or relationships with friends, or and when you want to help somebody who's in pain or suffering, or you somebody wants to help you the opposite way, and sometimes that works and you can get relief from friends, and sometimes not, and it seems that it just you fall together. It's very sad and frustrating feeling when it doesn't work, but you want it to work, and helping each other in painful situations. I wonder if you could talk about that.
Could you talk about death and what it is? Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very new to this, and I've been looking for the last 5 years at the Enneagram in system of looking at the ego and how it rises, within me, and watching the rise all the time. And I've always thought it was just so very difficult to make change when you observe that ego rising, and it just comes, in the most unexpected times, in a shopping centre or something that doesn't go right, or and it just seems that is this resting is it just. I mean, yesterday's work was not simplistic at all. I don't want to infer that. It was very, very deep and very, very meaningful. But I wonder when you go from here, how that seems to work so easily for you. I wonder if you could talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I have very good news. There's nothing to examine, transform, analyze, rectify, decondition, recondition, uncondition, explain. Everything all at once is already perfect just as it is. So to try to examine an ego or a personality type or an I or any kind of individual identity in order to realize who you are. It's like trying to pass a bolt of cloth through the eye of a needle. When you attempt to analyze or transform something that has no independent nature and doesn't exist in its own right, it's just a constant source of futility, frustration, aggravation, and negation. And so it is very simple, really, to understand who we are. We only know we are via awareness. So it's only in, of, as, and through awareness that we know we are, or that we know anything is. So any word in the dictionary, whatever we know about that word, is due to awareness. Thus, the ultimate meaning of every word in the dictionary is awareness. There's never been any word in the way of awareness, including the word I or ego or anything else. All of these terms are make-believe. All of these terms, no matter what they are, and no matter how many people believe them, they lack an independent nature. There isn't an entity that's somehow in the way of awareness called a personal identity or an ego, a personality, or anything else. And to believe that there is a very grave error. It's a very grave error. A simple way to understand who we are is all-encompassing awareness, the all-encompassing vast expanse of awareness, the pure view of all-encompassing awareness, including and containing all points of view, period. It's as simple as that. And all points of view that are included and contained therein, whatever they may be and of whatever kind, they're all equally, originally, and primordially pure, and that they only are awareness. So no matter what you call it, positive or negative, good or bad, beneficial or harmful, cause and effect, time and space, whatever it is due to awareness. Without awareness of it, it could not be. And all of these points of view that appear within awareness, whatever they may be, thoughts, emotions, sensations, the idea of a personal identity, other people, places, things, sensations, experiences, a very simple way to be with that is just to see them all as points of view appearing in the all-encompassing pure view of awareness. There's never anything in the way of awareness because everything is awareness. And to just rest as that awareness naturally and perfectly at ease, just as the ease of being itself, is to realize that all that appears, no matter what it is, it's timelessly free, it's originally pure, and nothing is to be known about it due to its label. Whatever appears, in its appearance, it is a vivid appearance of wisdom emptiness. Wisdom, emptiness, and awareness are synonymous with each other. And what does that mean, wisdom, emptiness? It means that all appearances are empty of an independent origin. All appearances, no matter what they are, they do not have their own being, no matter what the label might be, no matter what the name may be. And all of these appearances of whatever kind, all of these points of view, whatsoever they may be, they're all like a mirage or a hologram. And that what appears in a mirage and a hologram is nothing but space. It's nothing but pure space. And we, just in the same way that we would never try to seek satisfaction in a mirage or a hologram, or a rainbow for that matter, we can find no satisfaction in labels. We can find no satisfaction in mere names without understanding what they really are. If we try to continually find satisfaction or fulfillment or transformation in something that doesn't have an independent nature, then we'll always feel frustrated and confused. so if we look to a personal identity for satisfaction and fulfillment, then we'll feel frustrated and confused unless we know it doesn't have an independent nature. If we look to other people for satisfaction and fulfillment, the same thing. Frustration and confusion unless we realize that they do not have an independent nature. If we are affected by what we think or what other people think, then we'll be living our life constantly frustrated and confused because we know that that our thoughts and emotions, whether they're our own or someone else's, that they do not have an independent nature. And we can only understand this minimally in terms of conceptualization. Because who we are cannot be conceptualized. It's beyond conceptualization, imagination, or expression. It can't be demonstrated in any way. And it's completely beyond metaphoric approximation. So there's no way that we can really come up with just the right words to describe who we are. Yet at the same time, there are words that slice through, that cut through all of our ideas about everything. There are words that are so penetrating and pervasive that they cut right through all of our ideas of what we've taken everything to be, and they leave us exactly as we are, timelessly free. Everyone, no matter who they are, is timelessly free. It doesn't matter what you've done or what anyone else has done, and it doesn't matter if you think you're a good person or a bad person. Whoever you are, your timeless nature is timeless freedom. And when you get to know that timeless nature that is known through resting as awareness, then it's clear to see that whatever you think of yourself, it's just one way of looking at things. But it's limited often and unnecessary. Whatever the words are that we can come up with to describe ourselves, they're always limited in that they're mere labels. They're mere labels. Whatever appears in mind, and mind is equal to awareness, the vast expanse of awareness, whatever appears in mind, it all already is timelessly free. It doesn't matter whether it's come to have a positive or a negative connotation. Whether it's positive or negative, it has very limited information. Extremely limited information compared to wisdom. Beyond all the words and their labels and descriptions and the intellectualizing about them, the thinking about them, the conversations about them, beyond all of that is wisdom, complete wisdom, the complete open spaciousness of timeless wisdom. Timeless wisdom doesn't need to rely on words. Timeless wisdom awareness doesn't have any thinking, yet it includes all thinking. It's just a clear expanse of equalness and evenness in which everything that appears is timelessly equal and completely perceptually open. So this is the correct way to understand oneself, to just abide as that awareness no matter what appears, completely perceptually open. If it's ego that appears, complete perceptual openness in the experience of the ego. There would be no idea of an ego without awareness. So why not go right to the root of this idea rather than mess around with systems that never lead anywhere? So, you know, if we try to find out who we are through different kinds of systems and methods that just are another anomaly of points of view, then we just end up feeling lost and confused. We just add more points of view to the points of view we already have. The swift and sure approach to realizing our true nature. It's just so easy. It's completely easy. For many people, conviction dawns just by hearing about it. We already know who we are, so it's easy for certainty about that to dawn. And because it doesn't require any systems, methods, labels, descriptions, characterizations of any kind, methods or practices, and all those that I just described are points of view, how could rearranging the points of view lead anywhere? It's like trying to put together a trillion-piece jigsaw puzzle of a cloudless sky. It would be constantly frustrating. It would take eons to even begin to put the first pieces together. So this is the kind of frustration that is faced in trying to make something out of nothing. It's like trying to rearrange pure space into something that's understandable and recognizable. As we already are who we are is directly accessible, straightforward, and easy. It's not something that is out of reach. If we think that it's out of reach and we're looking somewhere for it, then we just have to relax as what's looking. It's what's looking anywhere that is awareness. If it's looking at ego, if it's looking at a cat, if it's looking at a dog, it's all rooted in awareness. If it's looking at other people and their perceptions or our own, it's all rooted in awareness. When we get familiar with wisdom awareness, which is at the basis of everything, then we do so in the immediacy of our own being. In other words, all of our own appearances, whatever they are, our circumstantial points of view that are associated with being. And these points of view do not need to be changed in any way. No matter what they are, they're all timelessly free anyway. So if we're trying to fix them or change them or rearrange them, then we'll always be lost in doing such. It's only in resting as awareness that we find that all these appearances, no matter what they are equal. The good ones and the bad ones, whether it's joy, happiness, exaltation, or despair, misery, and sorrow. It's all timelessly free. And in the great simplicity of that knowing that there's nothing that needs to be done, there's nothing whatsoever about us that needs to change, we come to decisively experience in our own being the original purity of our true nature. It's only in seeing that all these appearances, no matter what we've called them, are pure, that we decisively experience the original purity of fundamental reality. It can't be arrived at through intellectual speculation or approximation. It's just with our own appearances, whatever that they are, completely at ease. We remain completely at ease and see that no matter what they are, they're pure in their own case. They're free in their own place. They would never need to have anything done about them. How could that be? They're their own undoing. No matter what appears, it resolves, and the appearance and the resolution are awareness as well. The timeless freedom of everything is guaranteed. No matter what appears, its departure is guaranteed, like the flight path of a bird in the sky, or we'd never try to meddle with that. Or a line drawn in water. Once the line's drawn, that's it. It's its own undoing. Nothing needs to be done about it. And when we remain at ease, just as the basic reality of our own awareness, we see that this is so. It's absolutely so. Whatever appears, appears in awareness, and it resolves in awareness. The appearance and the resolution to our awareness. So any way in which we describe anything, It's all equal. It's all completely equal. When we realize this about ourselves, we can't help but just burst out laughing after what we put ourselves through, trying to say, oh, these thoughts are good, I gotta hold on to those, these thoughts are bad, gotta get rid of these emotions are bad, gotta get rid of those, these emotions are good, gotta hang on to those. What futility, what absolute futility, how worrisome and bothersome and totally problematic. Because the good things that we want to hold on to, we can't, and the bad things that we want to get rid of, we can't get rid of. So we can't hold on to the good ones or get rid of the bad ones. So why not rest in super completeness? You know what I'm saying is true. I see the smiles on your faces. You know, we already know what's true about ourselves. It really doesn't. We don't need anyone else to tell us, but yet when we hear about it, wow, it's just so clear. You know, it's absolutely clear. It's undeniable, no matter how much we've confused ourselves with other ideas. It's just so totally clear. And what is there then? Well, you know, there's just that awareness that is synonymous with wisdom and love, and the tremendous energy that comes about through letting go of fixed reference points. We don't need any security blankets. There aren't any security blankets anywhere. No conventional labels, descriptions, laws, institutions, structures, whatever they are, none of these can provide any security. They're all appearances of primordial emptiness, no matter what they are. So why make them into anything? Why attribute an independent identity where none exists? Why not just bask in the total love, wisdom, awareness that is the essence of everything that's right here? The appearances are, whatever they are, they're a magnificent display, wondrous in their own regard. Whatever they are, wow. You know, there's nothing more that needs to be said about them or described. It's just so simple. Total simplicity is the nature of our being, total love. And the tremendous energy of love and letting go of fixed reference points just relaxes that too. You know, at first it seems like, oh, gee, I had no idea that I had this going on. Well, when we're so busy trying to fix ourselves, we can't relax in unconditioned love. We realize unconditioned love in the immediacy of all our own appearances, all our own points of view, just letting them be, just letting everything be as it is. That's how we realize unconditioned love, unconditional love, and then, whoo! Everyone looks good. We look in the mirror, we even look good. No matter what we thought about ourselves, no matter how beautiful we are, believe me, anyone who looks in the mirror who's beautiful finds something wrong. Just the way everyone else does. So when we just relax and don't need to hold on to any of these ideas we've had about ourselves or others, it's all just so easy. And if we feel a lot of energy and a lot of love and we're not used to it, we'll get used to it. We will. We'll just get used to it. It's just what's real. It's what's real about us. We get real. We just get real for the first time. And this is such a tremendous relief, because then we can be in all situations without impediment, no matter what they are. We don't need to change anything. We can stay where we are or go somewhere else. It matters not. Wherever we are, we're free. We're completely free. No matter what anyone else around us is doing. And in that, we have complete understanding of what everyone else is doing. And just realizing our own nature, then we understand everyone completely. When we realize that all of our own appearances are impeccable, pristine, and have never had anything that needed to be done about them, then we realize that about everyone else. Then there's nothing to say. You know, we can just listen. If someone wants to hang out and they're suffering for the rest of their life, well, that's up to them. You know, if that's all they want to talk about, that's up to them. And if they don't want to hear about anything else, that's up to them. It's not up to us to change them. Just to be a complete open space is often the most effective approach. Just to listen is complete openness and spaciousness that doesn't need anything at all from the other person. And so, you know, if someone does want to hear about what's up, what's really up, what's really happening, then they'll let you know that. So, you know, everything is easy. Everything is effortless. Everything is easygoing and carefree, no matter what the point of view is, whether it's birth, whether it's life, whether it's death, it's all timelessly free. When we become familiar with the reality that all of our own appearances, no matter what they are, including the appearance of us ourselves, that it's all wide open and free, beautiful space that's never been made into anything, then we're ready for death. When the point of view of death comes, it's like, ah, the wedding night. Another easygoing, carefree moment that's complete and identical with every other.
Experiences we may have had that we feel we have not let go, and we can feel stay is stuck in our muscles or cellular. Do you know what I mean? Something we have not released. I feel your sharing, and at the same time, let's say we don't. I know it's beyond this, but let's say we have not forgiven and we hold this, or we have not fully allowed things to move through, and we need to release. Because coming with you has kind of allowed me to let go of the idea that I had to heal something about myself, that I had to heal the demons, to let go of the demons, right? I'm getting to let go of that idea, but I don't know if you could say something about experiences that I've held on to, and is it in the light of this awareness when we fully realize that we are free from all of it, but the body, this dense physical structure, seems to be holding on to things sometimes.
That's a great point of view, isn't it? The body. You know, no matter what we think of or what emotion we have, all of them are completely equal. They're completely equal. So if we've learned all these things, whatever the current fads are, cellular density or whatever they are, you know, the density of the body, these are just all little wisps of nothing flying through the air, you know, of nothing. So it's all a feast of nothing. There isn't anything else there. You know, nothing, no matter what it is, has an independent nature. Whether it's a memory or the thought of someone who hurt us or whatever it is and we feel like we need to forgive, this is just a string of thoughts that seem to be related to each other, but actually they're finite appearances of the infinite. So no matter what they are, the points of view aren't related to each other in any way. That's just another point of view that they are related to each other in some way. So whatever the thought is that appears, like say, oh, a memory. Oh, I see the image of something that happened. Oh, I was hurt. Oh, I need to forgive. Or you see, all these are just points of view. It's only in awareness itself, in relaxing its awareness, forgiveness, so to speak, comes about. I can barely say that word, forgiveness, because there's never been anyone to forgive. And all is already forgiven, whatever that is. So, you know, a lot of these ideas that we have, we can only go beyond the seeming solidity of them by resting as awareness. They can't be undone through toying around with them. It's only in resting as awareness that we realize they're already undone. and focusing on another person and thinking that we have to do something about whatever we're thinking about them in order to be complete ourselves is a complete detour. In resting as awareness, when we settle into this naturally settled reality of our own being, the ease of our own being, and we rest in that and we just see that all these appearances that come about, that we're resting as those appearances too, then what comes about is complete compassion for ourselves. We see what we put ourselves through by making up such a big story about everything we think and emote. And it's in that compassion that we are complete, that we're super complete. And only then do we have compassion for other people. It's only from that we can have compassion for other people. It can't come about in any other way. And then if we need to make amends or direct changes with another person, something like that, we'll know what to do and how to act from complete wisdom and love rather than from pop psychology, psychiatry, self-help books, and everything else. All of those things that I just mentioned, they're like getting drunk or stoned to play around in the swamp of those things. It's just another anomaly of point of view, another way of looking at things that has nothing to do with super completeness. So just rest in the essence of your own being. Let everything be as it is, and you'll know everything that is to be known about everything. What do you want to know? A bunch of conventional ideas, or do you want to really see as the flawless knower, seeing everything, the flawless seer, seeing everything as it is? As amazing as it may seem, it's just in the total simplicity of the absolute rest of our own being that everything becomes crystal clear. There aren't any other ways to go. I'm not going to suggest any tricks or gimmicks whatsoever. As you go about your life, whatever way you go about your life, rest as awareness for short moments, repeated many times, until it becomes automatic, or just continue to listen, and certainty will dawn in you without you doing anything other than listening. Believe me, we've all tried all of these things, forgiving, negotiating, all of these things. But, you know, if we want any of this to be true for ourselves, why not go for the ultimate forgiveness? The ultimate negotiation is the negotiation in which there aren't any parties to negotiate. That's the single non-dual expanse of peaceful intelligence and freedom. So no matter if it's your own personal problems, so to speak, or the problems of the human species, the solutions are to be found in awareness, in super complete wisdom awareness that's beyond all these conventional ideas of everything. All the conventional ideas of the human species have led us to the point where we are. And what can we say about that? Well, you know, we've tried all these things, forgiveness, trying to develop peace, trying to solve our problems, but the points of view that created these problems cannot solve the problems. It's only in awareness, in wisdom awareness, that's beyond all the thinking, all the speculating, all the supposed laws of things like time and location, cause and effect. That which is entirely beyond causation has powers beyond anything that can be imagined through points of view. When we just let everything be as it is in the naturalness of our own being, we tap into this wisdom identity that is our true identity, and we stop fooling around with all these other things we've heard. Well, you know, I mean, all of our life we've been faced with people who are talking about something, you know. whatever it is. And some of it sounds good, so then we think, oh, that sounds good. It sounds better than the points of view I have, so I'll just adopt these new points of view. And then when we hear about enlightenment, or awakening, liberation, or if you want to call it the optimal condition of being human, that's what I call it, then, you know, we hear about that and we think, oh, that sounds good. And so then we go looking for that. But a lot of times everything we hear, it's just more points of view. It's more points of view. But this time the points of view are spoken by charismatic people, and it said, oh, you know, if you just do these things, then you'll also be timelessly free. But we never even stop to look around and say, well, how many of the people who are attending these things are timelessly free? That would be a good indication, wouldn't it? So, you know, beyond charisma, intellectual speculation, methods and practices, institutions, modalities, whatever they are, beyond all of that is wisdom. As long as there's obsession with methods and practices for just that long, there'll be no wisdom. You know, it's only in the immediacy of our own being, repeatedly and uninterruptedly, that we relax into the great reality of what we are, and everything becomes vividly clear. It really doesn't matter whether anyone else is resting as awareness or not. It doesn't matter if anyone else believes in what we're doing or not. When we get familiar with our own ultimate reality, just the relaxed awareness that is at the basis of everything, totally super complete wisdom, it doesn't matter what other people think or say to us. It just doesn't matter at all. If they want to persist in whatever they're persisting in, that's great. But clear seeing only sees wisdom and love. In the clear seeing of our own appearances, then we see what motivates other people, and all we can feel is tremendous compassion. It's not like yet another thing where we're right and everybody else is wrong. We're right and our friends are right, but everybody else is wrong. This is how we really know when we've realized who we are, because everything, no matter what it is, it's just seen as it is. And everyone, no matter who they are, they look beautiful. You know, they look absolutely beautiful. There's complete understanding that if we had the same points of view that other people have, we'd be doing exactly what they're doing, whether it's waging war, killing and maiming of some other kind, or feeding the hungry. We know that if we'd be doing exactly what anyone's doing if we had their points of view. So you see, we see within testing within ourselves the efficacy of awareness. We test it in ourselves. We don't have to rely on what anyone else says, including me. You know, it's in the experience of your own being. That's what I suggest to you, that you become familiar with that about yourself that is beyond all of the exclamations, proclamations, and everything else. This is the only way. It's the sure and swift way. It's only through the decisive experience of your own being that swiftly and surely the certainty and indwelling confidence dawn on you that show you that you don't need to rely on anything, no matter what it is, that there's something about you that isn't dependent on anything. Not only isn't it dependent upon your own thoughts and emotions, it's not dependent on your body to be. It's not dependent on your body living or dying to be. It's not dependent on anything to be. It's not dependent on any of the elements to be, like earth, air, fire, and water. Awareness doesn't depend on any of these to be. It doesn't depend on space to be. It doesn't depend on the cosmos to be. It doesn't depend on anything to be. It is. Not any idea you could come up with, whether it's tangible or intangible. Awareness can't be characterized in any way. It's indescribable. And it's not dependent on any description that occurs within it. So sublime or mundane. So you see, we can't twist our thinking into understanding this. We can only enjoy awareness, the awareness that's the root of every single perception, just to be at ease in our own being, brings a smile to our face. And if you're sitting here and you can't stop thinking, well, keep coming back. And complete relaxation will pervade your being. It's just being involved in thinking without the sublime awareness of what's thinking. Well, that's just a habit. It's just a way of focusing awareness. And ever present in, of, and as that, all that thinking is this sublime awareness that's always completely relaxed by nature. The more you rest as awareness, the more this is absolutely realized. It's just seen to be the case. Seeing through all points of view, seeing through all points of view clearly, like light-filled space, whether they're your own points of view, including the point of view of you, or other people's points of view, or other people, whatever they are, they haven't an independent nature. They've never been anything. And so, you know, no matter whether you've been depressed all your life or happy all your life, just relax. Sometimes if we're depressed, you know, we've been depressed all our lives, some of us, you know, we say, oh, wow, you know, I just can't get out of this depression. I guess I'm going to be depressed forever. And after about 50 years of that, wow, you know, it really seems true. But no matter what the appearances are, and no matter how gripping your appearances may seem, rest is awareness. Discover the basis of that appearance of depression or whatever else it is, anger, sadness, sorrow, happiness, whatever it is. Just really get to know, gain familiarity with the basis of all these appearances. And in that, whatever it is that is plaguing you will be exhausted, and there will be the flowering of tremendous qualities of wisdom simultaneously. So a lot of times we've been looking for tricks and gimmicks to get rid of our afflictive points of view. However, they never work, do they? Even if we find a way to drown them for a while, like a big doobie or some acid or ecstasy or a bottle of vodka or scotch or whatever it is, those things that just totally wipe us out, or a big shot of heroin. You know, when it wears off, what happens? There it is again. It all comes flooding back. Or maybe it isn't anything that extreme. Maybe it's TV, watching TV 24 hours a day, or eating 24 hours a day, or whatever it might be, looking at pornography 24 hours a day. You know, that's possible these days. So whatever it is, and no matter how bound up you feel you are in any of these things, and believe me, I know what's up. So I know all the roads taken. Whatever it is, just rest. And, you know, if you feel like you're really in the grip of something, and even if it's something you feel you can't talk to anyone about, just rest and get to know the essence of who you are. When you feel that drive or compulsion or obsession to act in a particular way to relieve your anxiety, rest in that which is the complete relief of all anxiety, panic, compulsion to think, or compulsion to do anything else. Just rest in the relaxed nature of your being, and whatever it is, it'll resolve naturally in itself, right? I have the choir over here, so I know I can look at them and say right, and they'll all nod their heads. because they know, even though the first time I met them, they all looked at me like, don't know what to think of her, but...
Are they teaching another point of view?
That's a good question. Well, let's look at it this way. There is no wisdom awareness separate or apart from points of view. So that's the ultimate answer to your question. And within those points of view, you know, we can have all kinds of thoughts, we can have all kinds of emotions, we can listen to all kinds of teachings, but there are only a few teachings that cut right through everything swiftly and surely and show us our true nature without us having to do anything. So those are the points of view we want to listen to. Because a lot of what we hear, even though everything is a wisdom appearance, a lot of what we hear, it doesn't support knowing ourselves as wisdom awareness. So it's very important to listen to those words that come directly from wisdom awareness. And words that come directly from wisdom awareness can unerringly reveal to us who we are, so that the certainty about it just dawns within us naturally and easily. So, you know, it's up to us what we want to listen to. You know,
I'm taking this intellectually now. I'm sorry, but
I can tell because you're going like this. Got to think about this. Got to find some way to respond.
Yeah. You suggested we only take the teachings that come from wisdom awareness.
Yeah, there are teachings that are very unerring and direct that can show you easily how to be with all appearances, whatever they are, how to see all appearances, no matter what they are, as self-appearances of wisdom, how to hear all sounds as self-appearances of wisdom awareness. Something more?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, hello. I'd really like to know your point of view on what happens in the awareness of the child. And when either they perform that awareness or go into the world of effect, or how do you view that development of the child?
What happens to a child?
With the awareness, with the use of the awareness.
Oh.
I'd like to know what you think of that. I know that's a point of view, but I'd really like to hear it.
Well, everyone is wisdom awareness, including children. So, you know, it's just like when a child is born, a child doesn't have any idea of being anybody. It has no idea of being anybody whatsoever. It's just completely spontaneous and free, and it takes a long time for a child to even begin to be able to conceptualize and in a way that adults can understand. It takes 7 years, so you know it's a matter of training the awareness to hold to points of view, whatever they are, to discriminate about them, to discriminate as to whether to accept or reject points of view, or to just let them go by as some kind of neutral thing, like the sunset you described or the rainbow, something that isn't offensive and problematic. And so awareness in a human being, who knows why it is, but awareness can either be involved in all these points of view and take that to be an individual identity, or it can be open and free. It's just whatever an individual chooses, so to speak. It's just whatever we buy into, that's what we realize. That's exactly what we realize. So, you know, one of the things that I encourage people to do is to give up their right to be a victim of their points of view. Even if we keep it very simple and we just say, well, we chose our points of view, rather than getting into all these trips about blaming parents or other people, if we just say, well, my points of view are my points of view, there's no one to blame, and it's up to me as to how I am with the contents of my mind, then we can start to relax. It's very, very powerful. And so, you know, not all children are raised this way. Many of us may have been, but not all children are. And just because things have been a certain way for most people doesn't mean they need to continue to be that way for most people. It's up to you and it's up to me. Together, there's nothing we cannot be. That's our theme song. That's part of our Great Freedom theme song. And the band that plays that'll be with us when we go to Sweden this summer for a month. If you want to hear it, or tune into our site. We have a great website, by the way, greatfreedom.org, and I think there are about 100 downloads of full-length talks all given within the last year on that site. So it's a wonderful and rich resource. They're MP3 files, so you can either download them to an MP3 player or burn them to CD, send them to friends, or whatever you want to do with them.